I don't know if you've heard of the Christian version of The Onion. It's called the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee. And it's quite funny. And usually the headlines make more of a difference in terms of laughs than anything else. But I saw one this week, one article that the headline reads, Church Surveys Community to Discover Which Doctrines It Should Abandon to Get Them in the Door. Now, there is a famous megachurch in South Barrington, Illinois, that did something similar back in the 80s. It wasn't doctrine that they wanted to get rid of. It was more about taste, preference, all those kinds of things. So they went door to door in this new growing community, a lot of young professionals, and they had a clipboard. They knocked on the door and they asked one question. What do you dislike about church? What do you dislike about church? Then they built their church around the answers they received. They built a building that looked like a corporate structure with mall-like features. There's a gym, there's a coffee shop and bookstore, tons of meeting space, everything that anyone would ever want. Everything was new and polished, very little sacred trappings. They even changed the emphasis on Sunday mornings. So Sunday mornings was not for Christians, and they'd be clear about that. Sunday's not for Christians. Sunday is for seekers. Christians come on Thursday night, if you want to come on Thursday night. Did their strategy work? Well, today they have about 20,000 people that visit during the weekend. Does that work? And that model has actually been followed in every single city ever since. It's a very simple model. You go to the growing area. So where would that be around here? East Aurora, right? Go to East Aurora. You build a big barn. You have everything there ready for everybody. And you're sure to grow. Go light on the sacred stuff. Maybe a fog machine. That might help. Well, oftentimes, this strategy goes back to 1 Corinthians 9. And people say, well, look at what Paul did. Look at what Paul said. I have become all things to all men and women in order that I can save a few. So if your neighbors don't like stained glass, ditch it. If they don't like altars and sacraments, leave them behind. Dare I say that some even go as far as the Babylon Bee headline. If your neighbor doesn't like what the Bible says, what the church has always taught, well, leave it aside. The church must change or die. Is this what Paul is trying to say? Is this what Paul is getting at? Now, Paul's words come within a discussion around freedom, around conscience. Interestingly, around the whole hot topic of meat sacrifice to idols, which is a big topic for us, right? Basically, his premise is that the gospel is more important than matters of freedom and matters of conscience. He says, I have every right in my use of freedom to have a believing wife that I can take with me in my missionary travels, but I've decided I'm not going to use that right. Then he says, I also have the freedom to receive compensation for my service to the Corinthian church. And then he uses Old Testament examples like, you don't muzzle the ox when the ox is pulling the plow. The ox eats right along with the pulling of the plow. So he's looking at a principle. He says, but I have abandoned that. I'm putting that aside. I'm going to make some tents so that I can preach the gospel freely. It's free for you and it's free for me. I can then say what's really on my heart because the compensation is not coming from you. So there's no strings attached. Well, he's a Jew, but he will forego Jewish customs so that he can eat and share life with Gentiles. There's a big fight between Peter and Paul. And we read about it in the book of Acts and in Galatians. Peter all of a sudden decided he wasn't going to eat with the Gentiles. And then Paul sent him a memo saying, "What are you doing? You were there. You had the vision, remember, in the book of Acts of all the animals coming down and you had the command to eat them. And the principle was nothing's unclean. The gospel belongs to the Gentiles, so don't stop eating with them." And Paul then ate with the Gentiles, shared life with the Gentiles, spoke to the Gentiles, spoke in their temples, spoke in their halls. But on the other hand, when he was going to minister to Jews, he had his companion Timothy, who was half Gentile. And he said, "Timothy, you better get circumcised for this particular mission trip." How'd you like to be Timothy in that case? Not a lot of fun. But he did it again for the principle of becoming all things to all people so that he can share the gospel freely. He will avoid meat sacrificed to idols if it makes the weak fall back into sin, into pagan religion. So this is what he's getting at when he talks about preaching the gospel over and against anything else. The gospel is what is important. He becomes all things for the sake of the gospel. What does Paul mean by the gospel? A lot of different things. He has a whole entire book called Romans that spells out a lot of different things. But gospel is a word that the authors in the New Testament borrowed from the Romans. The word is euangelion. And it means to bring good tidings, to bring good news. And it usually came from Caesar's court. So someone then would come to a village or a town with a big sign that said, "I bring you good tidings from Caesar." And guess what would usually follow those good tidings? Peoples that they just conquered. They would have this entire processional of people that they conquered. It's as if they were saying, "This is Caesar. This is what you call power." Processing around the cities of Rome, the Roman Empire, to show the power of Rome. Paul's gospel actually is not that much different. It has a lot to do with the cross and the resurrection. But he sees the cross and resurrection as events that freed us from our enemies, sin, death, and the powers of evil. He says in Colossians chapter 2, "When you were buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross." Then listen to this image. "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it." Who are the rulers and authorities? The devil, evil, the demonic world. You see the connection with Caesar, making the enemies of God, the demonic world, as a conquered enemy, bringing glad tidings, bringing the gospel, the good news. So becoming all things to all people is not like running for office. or being the church of what's happening now. Paul is concerned with others receiving the gospel of the cross and resurrection more than anything else. Not because he's looking to be popular, but because he wants to free them. The great scene in Athens when Paul is preaching and he's looking around, he sees the shrine to the unknown God. Paul tries to build bridges there, quoting from poets, pagan poets, but his message at the end of the day is, repent, turn around, change. He wants them to repent, to change and to be changed. Paul is not running for office. And Jesus never ran for office either. Jesus today in our gospel is at home base in Capernaum, right across the street from the synagogue where the man was freed from the demon. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law, and people are beating down the door. So he goes to pray, where no one can find him, in a deserted place. When he finds out the whole town is there to see him, Mark records, when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." What does he say? Well, let's go on then. Let's go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The message was the most important thing for Jesus. His healing and his exorcisms were not the purpose of his coming. They served the message. He was not running for office. When his popularity grew, he went to the next town. And you see this happening over and over again. John chapter 6, he feeds the multitude. And then they start coming, 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 coming. Then he says, "I tell you what, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Then they start going and going and going and going. The message is what was important. So what about us? Do we have the obligation to proclaim the gospel? When Paul says he becomes all things for all people, he is basically saying, clear any barriers you might have in yourself to proclaim the good news. We're not running for office either. We're not proclaiming in order to be popular, but to announce that there is freedom. Those who are enslaved by sin and death can be free. Can we be like the prophet Jeremiah, who said this, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, I am weary with holding it in and I cannot." Pope Benedict used the image of oil when speaking to his priests about proclamation a few years ago. And I would say it applies to all of the baptized. We all receive the oil of chrism on our foreheads. But if we do not proclaim the good news, the oil of chrism, the oil of ordination, becomes rancid. But where do we begin? Where do we begin with this lost and fallen world? Well, Lent is coming. And Jesus' example is actually important. Jesus did not rush to be popular when he had the perfect opportunity. He went off to a deserted place to pray and to discern his next step. We know that the needs of the world are legion. We know that there are many who need to hear the gospel, who need that cold cup of water from Christ. But the first thing we need to do is find our deserted place. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. But we can't be everywhere and we can't do everything. Find your deserted place and ask God to show you in your place where you need to share the gospel. The who and the where and the how. Amen.